This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
We had a 43-yard field goal blocked by Jacksonville and missed from 56 yards against the Colts. And the Packers get a block here and escape Chicago with a win. 20-19 Green Bay, 3 seconds to go. They'll place it down to the left hash mark. 36-yard line, 10 of the end zone, 46-yard field goal attempt. Torrey Taylor on the hold. Scott Daly the snap. Cairo Santos for the game. Signals being called. Here's the snap. Placement made. The kick is blocked.
It is blocked. It is blocked. And the Packers have won.
Beautiful.
It is blocked. It comes up short. And the Packers have won 11 straight over the Bears. 20-19.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with the fantastic Mr. Aaron Zommers. It is 7 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon on this Monday, November 18th, 2024. And yes, it is a great day to be a Wisconsinite as we open the show with the iconic call of Wayne Larrabee and Larry McCarron, The Rock, on the Green Bay Packer Radio Network. There was your dagger, to quote Wayne Larrabee, as the Bears, it's official, still suck.
You know, a win is a win. And while this one may not have been the prettiest win, still got there.
It's a win, like Al Davis says. I mean, NFL, just like politics, just win, baby. That's all it takes. Did you see the game, Zommers?
I passively watched it. I was watching and looking up for when things sounded more exciting or when one of my roommates was like, oh, holy crap. And I look up and
it was crazy.
It was. I will say, Caleb Williams finally started looking good.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm a little cocky today, obviously, but the Bears probably outplayed the Packers for large parts of that game and, of course, should have won in all fairness. But, hey, Packers special teams did the job, got the block, got the fingertip, misdirected the ball, and Packers win 11 straight over the Chicago Bears. I happened to be at the end of that game. I happened to be in Green Bay. I went up to Seanville to see Dad and my stepmom, Mary, this weekend. And I needed to stop at the Packer Pro Shop on the way back home.
Oh, boy.
Because we're going to be in Seattle here in a few weeks. And so I thought I better get one of those throwaway rain ponchos, $8. So I wanted to get one of those and a couple for my godson and his buddies who are going with us. And so I was in the Packer Pro Shop at the end of that game and watched it and heard Wayne in the call, and people were just going nuts to the Packer Pro Shop.
Oh, I bet.
It was fantastic. So it was a great week for the Packers, great weekend for the Packers. Get a big win. And of course, many of you heard that game across the Civic Media Radio Network. Packers play in Richland Center, WRCO, WCQM in Park Falls, WRJN in Racine and Kenosha as well. And remember, you can always listen to the Packers on those fine stations. Next game for the Pack coming up on Sunday, the 24th. San Francisco is at Green Bay. Broadcast starts at 1 o'clock in the afternoon on those great stations. And this year, the Pack plays also on Thanksgiving, on the 28th. Miami Dolphins will be at the Green Bay Packers. Broadcast on Thanksgiving starts at 5 p.m. Always kind of fun when the Packers play on Thanksgiving, especially later in the afternoon like that. So that's great. So a big weekend. By the way, coming up at the bottom of the hour, get you your political fix. Reed Galen, president of the union, also co-founder of the Lincoln Project. Reed Galen will be here at the bottom of the hour. We have not talked to him extensively since our bus tour across the state of Wisconsin, what makes Wisconsin great. Reed will be back on the program here at the bottom of the hour. Give us his kind of takeaways on the election results, but also moving forward. What's in store for the union? Are they going to get involved in some of these statewide races? Of course, here in Wisconsin, we have the Supreme Court race coming up this spring. I know a lot of people, it's too soon, Todd, don't say it, but very important election for the state Supreme Court coming up in April. So I'm going to talk to Reed Galen about all things political and otherwise coming up at 12:30 today. Before we leave sports, both a great weekend for Wisconsin and a not-so-great weekend. First of all, the great. We talked about this program on Friday. Number nine ranked, Arizona came to town and took on Wisconsin, who was unranked at the Kohl Center. A very special night Friday. They were honoring the 13-14 and 14-15 Wisconsin men's basketball Final Four teams. And former coach Bo Ryan, now who is in the Naismith Basketball Coach of Hall of Fame, was there, and his name got raised to the rafters at the Kohl Center for everything that he did for Wisconsin, winning as coach in Wisconsin basketball history. So lots of nostalgia, but it was the current team who it got tied up at 65 all. They could have folded the tents and gone home, but no, they dug down, and Wisconsin knocked off number nine, Arizona, 103-88, stormed the court, kids everywhere. It was a fantastic scene on Friday night at the Kohl Center, and I was listening to the call on the Badger Sports Network, which, of course, you can hear for free on the Civic Media app across many of our fine stations and on the app itself, and I've been listening to Matt LePay for a lot of years, and I've never heard him. I don't want to read too much into this. This is what I heard in my ears. I'm not speaking for Matt LePay. But he and analyst Brian Butch were talking after this win, and Matt was really emphatic that, you know what, this is how you do it. You keep the fundamental tenets of Wisconsin basketball, which is a combination of what Dick Bennett and more so what Bo Ryan brought to this state in men's basketball at Wisconsin. You keep the fundamental tenets of that. You bring guys like Kirk Penny and others, younger coaches, in to tweak it a little bit, but you don't fundamentally change it, and you can have success. I'm paraphrasing LePay a little bit, but that's basically what he was saying. And to me, what I heard was, look, you don't have to throw out the baby with the bathwater. Greg Gard, an acolyte, longtime assistant coach for Bo, has kept the fundamental tenets, but he has grown with it. And look, huge success. Wisconsin, by the way, in the AP polls out now ranked number 22. And Wisconsin will take on the ever, I shouldn't be cocky, right? I was going to say the ever tough Texas Rio Grande Valley. Wisconsin at home tonight. You can hear the broadcast starting at 6 o'clock tonight with Matt LePay and Brian Butch across many of our stations in Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, Racine, Kenosha, and Richland Center. And of course, everybody can listen to these Badger games, both basketball and football, on the Civic Media app. You can download it for free at your Apple or Android device. But just a great game for men's basketball. It's early in the season, but boy, what an exciting game for Coach Gard and his Badger team. On the flip side, we talked about this on Friday. Huge game for football coach Luke Fickell and the Badger football team. Number one ranked, undefeated Oregon came to Camp Randall Saturday night under the lights on Peacock and NBC. Wisconsin did not look terrible, particularly on defense.
I was surprised that we didn't lose by like 50.
Right. I mean, the defense really, I mean, to hold the one of the best offenses in the country to 16 points, not bad. As former coach Rip used to say, may he rest in peace, not bad. And but here's the problem. The offense just couldn't get it going. And look, I'm not going to be an armchair quarterback. I'm sure Braden Locke, the quarterback, is an excellent person, and I think he works his butt off. From all reports, nobody studies the game or film like he does. But boy, just some really unfortunate throws, some passes sailed over guys' heads, incomplete. I'll say it: there were a couple of key officiating calls in that game, particularly in the fourth quarter, when Wisconsin would have had a first down and a chance to go ahead. Got called back on a penalty that, again, questionable at best. But the offense just looked discombobulated. Wisconsin loses 16-13 to Oregon at Camp Randall on Saturday night. Still searching for that key sixth win, which would give the Badgers a winning season for a record number of years, like 21, 22 years in a row. And as importantly, secure a bowl game. They have not done that yet. Only have 5 wins in the season. Now 5-5 on the year. Going to Nebraska this weekend. Bucky will play the Huskers, the Cornhuskers. Broadcast starts at 12:30, game time at 2:30 across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Wisconsin at Nebraska, 2:30 kickoff, pregame show at 12:30. Luke Fickell had seen enough of his offensive coordinator. Last night, late yesterday afternoon, came across the wires. Luke Fickell fired offensive coordinator Phil Longo. And for a lot of people, myself included, you're left scratching your head. Phil Longo's offense, known as the air raid offense, all about, you know, through the air. The most successful part of Wisconsin's game over the weekend was the run. And maybe, I don't know if Barry had something to do with it. I read into it, but it seemed to me that somebody had told the Badgers, run the damn ball more. Because they had great success over the weekend when they did that. And now Luke Fickell is going to have to make the biggest hire of his coaching career in choosing Wisconsin's next offensive coordinator, which I think it should be a combination of air and ground game. And if he gets that wrong, Fickell, he may be the next to be in the unemployment line. So lots of sports news over the weekend. Just want to catch you up on that. Certainly, but what about the basketball team? Very excited. Going with the family Klein tonight to the Kohl Center to the game. So looking for, by the way, shout out to Parker Klein, MVP of his youth basketball tournament over the weekend.
Oh, right? maybe nice a future job, Badger?
Yes. I have offered multiple times to handle Parker's name, likeness, and image deal. I think I can secure a Culver's deal for him.
I think you could.
Just free burgers and cheese curds.
You've spoken with the marketing manager of Culver's before.
Well, I think we can get the Richland Center Mafia going and get Parker a deal. So we will do our best on that as we move forward here throughout the day. It is coming up now on, about 18 minutes past the hour of 12 noon. Yes, we'll come back and look at some political headlines, some news headlines, what happened over the weekend, what the Trumpster was up to. More appointments, including the FCC. Will Todd be taken off the air? We'll maybe answer that question and more when we come back. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Allball Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Now 21 past the hour of 12 noon. Reed Galen, president of the union, co-founder of the Lincoln Project, joins us after the 12:30 break. Stay tuned for that. Not going to want to miss it. Reed's got contact information, knowledge, as Ken Lewis likes to say. A little knowledge on the election. He'll lay it down for us and look ahead to what's next in 2025 in the political scene. Reed Galen at 12:33. Is it 12:33:50? What do we come back? Something like that. Close enough for government work, and I ought to know. Talking about before the break, very quickly to follow up on this, little Badger football, Packer football. Michaela, listening on WAUK in West Bend, says the Packers Thanksgiving halftime show is going to be so awesome. Really? What? I'm not sure what it is. Who's coming to do the halftime show on Thanksgiving at Green Bay? give us the 414 of that, Mikhail, if you have it. Also, Robert in McFarland, listening on WMDX, says of the Wisconsin Badgers and the firing of offensive coordinator Phil Longo over the weekend, Robert says, quote, "The Badgers have had the best success on the ground because of the weather we have. The air game is not what works," unquote. Yeah, definitely think we got to get back more fullbacks. Let's have Brady Ewing come back and recruit some fullbacks. So that's what we need. Some big, beefy, strong boy fullbacks at the Wisconsin Badger football team. It is 23 now past the hour of 12 noon. Let's take a look at other headlines around the country. Past chairs of the Federal Communication Commission, both Republicans and Democrats, have emphasized broadband internet deployment and wireless spectrum policy. But President-elect Donald Trump's pick for chairman, Brendan Carr, did not mention those issues after he thanked Trump for the promotion on Sunday night. Instead, he took an aim at big tech companies for quote-unquote censorship, promised to hold broadcast TV and radio stations accountable, and pledged to end the FCC's promotion of diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts. Carr was very clearly channeling the president-elect and signaling that it won't be business as usual. And America's Communication Regulatory Agency, quote, "We must dismantle the censorship cartel and restore free speech rights to everyday Americans," unquote. Carr wrote on X. Of course, Elon Musk, who owns that, immediately replied and praised him. Surprise, surprise. Carr and Musk have a close relationship as chairman. Carr may be able to steer generous federal subsidies to Musk's Starlink. When Politico published a story titled, quote, "The DC bureaucrat who could deliver billions to Elon Musk," unquote, last month, Carr told the outlet that he would be an even-handed regulator. Also, very curious, Carr, who will run the FCC under Donald Trump, and he doesn't have to be confirmed, by the way, because he's already been confirmed by the Senate and already sits on the FCC, so it's just a straight-line appointment. No confirmation hearing or vote needed on this one. But Carr wrote a chapter on the FCC where? In the Conservative Heritage Foundation's blueprint project called Project 2025. Quote, "If tradition holds," unquote, current chair Jessica Rosenzweig will step down in January. But that will leave the FCC with 4 voting commissioners, 2 Republicans and 2 Democrats. That means Carr will need to await confirmation of a 3rd Republican before he can drive his agenda forward, unquote. So he gets to move up from just a member of the FCC to the chairman without a vote, but he needs a vote on that 3rd commissioner to really, technically, at least have power. So a couple of interesting things about this guy Carr. He has said in the past he wants more money for rural broadband, which I agree with. I've been talking on this program for 2 years about the need for more broadband in rural parts, particularly of Wisconsin. I bought a Starlink setup, a portable satellite, earlier this year to do some of our remote broadcasts. And let me tell you, this is not an advertisement. I'm just telling you as a matter of fact, based on my involvement with it, it works like a charm. It's a reasonable way to get broadband to rural parts of the country. Now, should Elon Musk be making all kinds of money off of this when his cronies are in the government? I would say not. But I guess the point is here that some of these things Carr is talking about, rural broadband, access to internet in rural areas, is not a bad thing. But the fact that he really didn't mention those yesterday and went more into this holding, quote, "holding broadcast TV and radio stations accountable," unquote, is. Now, you know, based on my sources, I don't think he's coming after civic media anytime soon. Could he potentially? Yeah, sure, absolutely. Probably going to go after bigger fish first, and that leads us to the next story. Joe and Mika's journey to Mar-a-Lago. Joe Scarborough, Mika Brzezinski from Morning Joe on MSNBC. started off the morning. Let's play just the first 30 seconds of the Sombers. Here's what Mika and Joe started off the show with today.
Over the past week, Joe and I have heard from so many people, from political leaders to regular citizens, deeply dismayed by several of President-elect Trump's cabinet selections, and they are scared. Last Thursday, we expressed our own concerns on this broadcast and even said we would appreciate the opportunity to speak with the president-elect himself. On Friday, we were given the opportunity to do just that. Joe and I went to Mar-a-Lago to meet personally with President-elect Trump. It was the first time we have seen him in 7 years.
Now, we talked about a lot of issues, including abortion, mass deportation, threats of political retribution against political opponents and media outlets. We talked about that a good bit. And it's going to come as no surprise to anybody who watches this show, has watched it over the past year or over the past decade, that we didn't see eye to eye on a lot of issues, and we told him so.
What we did agree on was to restart communications. My father often spoke with world leaders.
Right, stop it there just because we're up against the clock. That's Joe Scarborough, Mika Brzezinski, on Morning Joe, saying they went to Mar-a-Lago over the weekend to talk with Trump. I'm very disappointed. I've said on this program that I want to talk to actual Trump voters and listen to voters. But I have no intention or interest in talking to Trump himself. Were Joe and Mika just trying to save their hide because of these new FCC rules and new chairmen? Trying to keep themselves out of jail for retribution? We'll ask Reed Galen, who knows a little something about it, co-founder of the Lincoln Project and president of the Union Don't Go Anywhere's The All Balls Show on Civic Media.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Welcome back to the Tom Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along. 34 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon on this Monday, November 18th, 2024. As we work our way through a Monday, a little rain falling right now here in Wisconsin at the capital city. Windshield wipers on. Make sure your lights are on if you're driving to most parts of Wisconsin. As we're by the end of the week, seeing some snow flurries here and there. Joined now on the broadcast by our ongoing contributor, a friend. I think I can call him now at this point. We spent a week on a bus, Reed, so I hope I can say that. But president of the Union, co-founder of the Lincoln Project, and host of the fantastic podcast called The Homefront, Reed Galen joins us now. Reed, how are you?
I'm well. I live in Utah. We have a blizzard.
Yeah.
Winter has arrived.
What we're going to have you do, because winter has arrived in Utah there. Maybe it's affecting the mic. It's all fuzzy again, so I'm not sure. So we'll give Reed a second to readjust his mic, and kind of when he unplugs it and plugs it back in, we'll give you a chance to work on that for a second and try this out. While he's doing that, we're going to be, again, we'll ask Reed when he comes back here in a second about, the fallout from this election. And there's a lot of people going off of X now and going on Blue Sky, something I was on early on, how that's affecting things. And what about these Trump appointments, particularly the one in the FCC? How much retribution will there be moving forward? So, these are all questions, I think, as we kind of, here's a one texter from Robert from McFarland and WMDX says, are y'all leaving Twitter for Blue Sky? It's a lot better up in the sky. I've been using it for almost a year. It's easy to use if you're older and a lot more control on the user's side. Great question, Robert. And yes, I was fortunate enough to have a buddy of mine who was kind of in that, he's in the tech world out there in Silicon Valley. And when Blue Sky first started, you were only able to be on via invite. And so I was on, I think I have I don't know, I'm barely on, but I'm on. And so, But I'm staying on X because I don't want to leave. I think, you know, why leave? They're going to have to force me off. So we'll see. I believe I believe the snow has cleared in Utah, and Reed is back with us. Reed, thanks for coming on. And yeah, have you guys got snow yet out there in Utah?
We have. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you.
Hello,
now.
Wisconsin. All right. We do. We've had some snow. We had about 5 inches last week. It's been cold. And so I think, I don't know how much more we're due for, but, you know, look, we live in the mountains here, Todd, so we like snow.
Right.
And we'll have it probably on the ground until May. So, you know, it's the best 7 months of the year.
Settle in a little bit. So I want to get into this stuff about socials and that kind of thing. But first, Reed, look, you, for those who might not know, you were so generous. First of all, thank you again to you and the union for providing our wheels, literally, as we took that bus around the state of Wisconsin, you and your contributors and the supporters of the union. But you spent time here. I mean, we were eating in small cafes and in bars, and the Norske Nook, and going to Green Bay. You got a sense of Wisconsin and what was going on here. What's just your overall takeaway after this election?
First of all, thank you, Todd. Thank you and everybody at Civic Media for having us. I loved it. And, you know, obviously traveling with Trigby is always a trial. We can say that. But he's probably listening
probably.
Very angry right now. But no, look, I loved it. And I think that the reason why I loved it, Todd, is not only because I think that you and Civic, you know, have grown such an incredible community, but because I think it's important that when you get out of the bubbles that we live in, and we all live in our bubbles, regardless of where they are, and remind yourself, and I know this is going to sound trite, but it doesn't make it not true, that there are more things that unite us than divide us. And that I think that when you go and, yeah, we were, you know, near Richland Center, where you're from, we were in Viroqua, your mom came to see us. We had a buddy of yours stop by, right, just happened to be walking down the street. And these communities are so tight-knit, and they have taken care of each other and their own, because so much of what the rest of the world has going on, I think, has left them behind. And when we say, oh, yeah, you know, these voters, they quote, feel left behind, I think, unfortunately, Todd, in a lot of cases, it's because they have been.
Yeah.
That a lot of the, you know, things that I take for granted from an educational perspective, from a success perspective, from a lifestyle perspective, I am incredibly lucky. But, you know, I tell the story of when we were pulling out of Wisconsin Rapids, and on the right side, there's this gigantic building. And I said, what is that? And you all said, that's the paper mill that went out of business, when I think it was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And it took 900 jobs with it in a town of 20,000. That is seismic for a town that size. Mm-hmm. That is traumatic for everybody that lives there. And the idea that it's like, oh, well, right, like that's not OK. And I'm not saying that government should do everything. I'm just saying that when we see why people are angry, right, when you hear them and when you talk to them, you can see why. Yes, there's social issues and social media and, you know, right wing media and all the other stuff. Yes. But it all has a willing audience or a receptive audience, because a lot of times those bad actors are speaking to people who feel like that the American dream has gone. And for a lot of them, Todd, unfortunately, it's true.
We're talking with Reed Galen, president of the union, co-founder of the Lincoln Project, and host of the fantastic podcast called The Homefront. Reed, I've come to the belief, I've really tried to be really self-reflective over those last week and a half, trying to take my personal biases and emotions out as best I can and just say, okay, let's, you know, I keep saying the old Ted Lasso phrase, be curious, not judgmental. That doesn't mean giving up your principles, but at least try to figure out why.
I can be both.
right. but you said this on the bus, and you said, look, it's not inconceivable that Trump could win, but it's going to have to be a sausage fest at the voting booth for that to happen, meaning it has to be a lot of young white males, which are traditionally tough to get out. As it turned out, Reed, it wasn't just that happened. There were a lot of young Hispanic and black males that came out. It was a sausage fest.
I think that's right. But also, you know, there were a lot of men, but 53% of white women pulled the lever for Trump, Todd, knowing everything they know about him.
Right.
And so I think that what we have seen here is, and you know, 2 million urban voters stayed home rather than pull the lever for Kamala Harris. So I think that we have to determine, and it's going to take a minute, and I think that's okay, but we don't have a lot of time, whether or not this is one purely of messaging, whether or not this is purely, you know, the Joe Rogan effect, which again, I think is 40 years downstream of a lot of work on behalf of, you know, right-wing efforts, mm-hmm. Or if it's a fundamental realignment of American politics, the likes of which we probably haven't seen since the 60s when Southern Democrats became Southern Republicans. And I think all of those things could be happening at the same time. Obviously, everything moves so much faster. But I'll say this is I always thought that Donald Trump didn't have enough voters to win on his own, that his coalition was too small. I was wrong in that regard, but I was right in this, and I'm not happy about this. As I said, Donald Trump can win, but the Democrats could lose. And I think that's what you saw, too, is if these millions of voters that stayed home show up, you know, this again, the margins in these individual states like Wisconsin were not huge,
right?
But they were big enough that when people didn't participate, it wasn't enough for the core Democratic Party to overcome what Trump did. And it wasn't, look, I mean, his margin of defeat in New Jersey, Todd, was 5%.
Yeah.
Right? 5%. Yeah. And so I think there's a lot going on. And, you know, I know our Democratic friends don't like criticism. And I'm not saying we should just go out and you know, beat them over the head repeatedly, but some accountability is necessary to understand, okay, what the heck happened and where do we go from here?
I want to talk a minute. I want to move to the future as well, but I just value your opinion. I've been wanting to have this conversation with you. For those that don't know, your dad was in Republican politics for a long time in George H.W. Bush world. You were in George W. Right. world. We've both left the party, the political Republican Party, but you have a lot of history there, a lot of institutional knowledge, I'll say, of that party. And give me your take on this, to your point earlier. I've been thinking about this. Have we seen this tectonic plate movement in American, not just politics, but culture and attitude? Let's go back to 1980. If Ronald Reagan had had, and I don't want to get into the debate about Reaganomics and trickle down and whether that worked or didn't, sure. But let's put ourselves back there. You and I are both born, you and I are both old enough to remember that. It was my first race I ever volunteered on. If Ronald Reagan had said everything about, you know, make America great again, morning in America, you know, all the things that he said, but he had said and done the things that Donald Trump did this time around, my granddad, who is a lifelong Republican, would have been like, oh, I guess we got to go with Carter for four more years. I just don't think the American public in 1980 would have suffered what Trump is. And to me, this election says, or at least we have to acknowledge to a degree, have the plates shifted where nothing truly matters about a person's morality or character at all. Am I right or wrong? What's your take?
It's a great question. I think what I have thought about is this is we need to remind ourselves, one, that we are a two-party system. We are a binary system. I wish we weren't that way, but we are. We have first past the post elections. Whoever gets more votes wins. It doesn't mean you have to get 50%. You just have to get one more vote than the other guy. And I think the reason why I bring up those two things, Todd, is because I think it's important to understand that for political socialization, like you and I went through as younger men, and now we've come to a different place in our lives, most people like are Republicans, and they're Republicans because that's what they've always been. Donald Trump is the Republican. He is now the normative force in conservative circles and for conservative voters in America. In the other parts of it, yeah, they should be disqualifying. I believe they are disqualifying. But if a Republican voter has to choose between Donald Trump and a Democrat, they're going to vote for Donald Trump for the most part. The quote unquote establishment wing that I guess I would have been a part of is functionally dead. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not coming back anytime soon. That's not to say that there won't be something different when Trump leaves, whenever that is. But for the moment, the party of Reagan, the party of George H.W. Bush, of George W. Bush, of John McCain, of Mitt Romney, it's gone. We just have to put a stake in the ground at the moment he came down the escalator and say there was the before time and there's the after time. And we are now we're now almost, it's hard to believe, Todd, 10 years into the after time.
Yeah, it is amazing. So is there anything else you want to talk about or add about the election before we move on to what's next?
Again, I think that it's, you know, we take so much for granted, thinking that we know so much. I keep getting things wrong. You know, I know that there's a lot of talk about misogyny and racism, but that's never been, you know, absent in our politics. It wasn't absent 2 weeks ago. It's not likely to be absent 2 years from now. But I think that understanding that where we ended up is not, again, didn't just happen because Joe Biden stayed in the race or Kamala Harris didn't run the best campaign she could. This is something that's been going on for many years. The Republicans, as I've always said, and we knew this, right? When you're a young Republican operative, Todd, the mantra is just like, you know, the Raiders, right? Yeah. Just win, baby.
Yeah.
And I 100%. Think that Democrats have decided that like moral victories matter as much as electoral victories. And it's just not true.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I went up to Shawano this weekend to see my dad and decided to flip through Sirius XM on my truck. I didn't really realize how many conservative, quote unquote, channels there are. And sure. And so, I mean, I think my take on legacy media, in my opinion, is even more dead than I thought it was. And number two, on the other side, you know, Joe Rogan, you know, all the they're better produced. They sound better. It's more uplifting. It's more fun. And it's entertainment. And on the left, it's just kind of, it makes you feel like crap after you listen to it. Like everything's terrible and the world's falling apart.
And I think, Todd, we have to be because you're not smart enough to understand what really needs to happen.
Right. And you know, in comedy, they call that punching down. And I think there are voters out there that just got not just Republicans, but these in Wisconsin, the Evers Johnson voters or the Trump Baldwin voters. You know, they just got tired of feeling punched down and like they have to watch every single word that they say. And I think they're just tired. They're not all terrible people. Most of them aren't actually. I think they just got fed up and also were in their silo information and weren't well informed. That's my take.
No, I agree. And that's one thing that, you know, when I was up in Wisconsin a few weeks ago, I popped my head into Sage's office and he noted that, you know, you guys are having a real success in rural areas. Mm. Yeah, because for the most part, Todd, they're probably have only been getting one voice for a long time.
Yep.
There is opportunity out there. You just got to go talk to people.
Yep. We're going to talk more with Reid Galen, find out what's next for the union, for the home front, and what's next in 2025. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Allball Show right here across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
He was born in the summer.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Now 9 before the hour of 12 noon on this Monday, November 18th, right to the Rocky Mountains, at least to the mountains, Mr. Reid Galen, who is the president of the union, co-founder of the Lincoln Project, host of the great podcast called The Home Front. Get it wherever you find your podcasts. Getting ready for the winter season out there in the Rockies, Reid Galen. We appreciate you being here, my friend. Before we came on at the bottom of the hour, we played this opening today of Morning Joe on MSNBC, which I'm a pretty big fan of. Joe and Mika disclosed that they went down to Mar-a-Lago over the weekend. I have a problem with them going down, in my opinion, bending the knee, because I think that discredits everything they said prior to the election. I want to listen to Trump voters, but I don't have a lot of interest in trying to negotiate or listen to Trump himself. What say you?
Well, I think that's right. And, you know, we've seen this. We even saw this with the legacy media throughout the campaign, which was they have normalized him. If you remember Les Moonves, who was the head of CBS back in 2015, 2016, said Donald Trump's bad for America, but he's good for us.
Yeah.
And that's still true. He is the ultimate clickbait. He understands and always has understood how to make himself omnipresent. And now, you know, as we get here closer to the inauguration on January 20th, Todd, you know, there are big media outlets like not only MSNBC, but also NBC that want to make sure that they get a seat in the briefing room. And it's not at all guaranteed that a lot of people will. If there's a reporter that they don't like, they're not going to get credentialed. This is not going to be like Jim Acosta or Brian Karam, you know, years ago. Like, if they get thrown out, the Supreme Court's not going to tell them to put them back in, right? The Supreme Court's basically given them carte blanche to say, we don't, you know, we'll do whatever we want. And so I think that what you're seeing here is, remember that that Morning Joe loved to have Trump on in the 15-16 cycle. Correct. Remember? Yeah. It was only after he won that they decided, oh wait, this is, you know, being this is bad for the country, and our, and being angry about it is good for our viewers.
Yeah.
Now what we've seen is that no, like they need to be back in. And it wouldn't surprise me if there was a discussion somewhere. It's like, look, we need to have him leave us alone, not only because, to your point, as you said, as I was listening, you know, they got a guy at the FCC who could just say, pulled your broadcast license.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, do I think that would happen? I don't. But do you think that the people at Comcast, who owns NBC and MSNBC, want to take that kind of chance? I think the answer is no.
Yep. Agreed. Agreed. Yeah, you know, I'll quickly touch on this. People asked about, you know, are you leaving X? To me, I mean, I've decided to stay on just because I don't want to be out of the loop. I use it as an aggregator for legit news sources. I think, well, why leave? Mm-hmm. I've also gone to, I'm on technically Blue Sky and Threads. What do you think about this part?
I mean, I left X just because the truth is I just couldn't stand the algorithm was all screwy, and yeah, everything I was getting was, you know, Russian bots. So yeah, you know, Threads and Blue Sky. Also go to SezUs, which is something that Joe Trippi and me and a bunch of others are trying to get stood up. We call it the social media site for sanity. And so you could take a look, but I think from this, from my perspective, if you're not going to be on X, let a thousand flowers bloom. I think a more decentralized information space is not necessarily a bad thing. But anything that's going to help Elon Musk do something he wants to do, look, I get where you're coming from, and I'm not even sure I disagree with it. But I'll tell you this, I took it off my phone, and it has been liberating in many ways.
You're a bigger target than I am too, Reed. So let's put that out there. I mean, I'm just saying you're much more pronounced and have a bigger audience out there. So that just makes you a target of those bots and whatnot. I want to give you time, about 4 minutes left here. Wherever you want to go with it, you want to talk about the podcast. A lot of people have asked. Sure. I know you're not directly involved. You helped found the Lincoln Project. People have asked, is the Lincoln Project going to continue? The offshoot, the union, which now you're the president of, is that going to continue? Sure. And if so, what is your mission post this election?
Yeah, well, thanks for asking. You know, you'll have to talk to the Lincoln guys. I mean, I left back in July because I, you know, like you saw when we were on the road together, I really am focused at the state and local level at this point, and as is the union. That's really where we've always been, is at the grassroots with our 100 plus partner organizations and tens of thousands of local volunteers and our state leaders. And for me, you know, this is going to sound a little bit uncharitable, but I think we have to get away from the performative talk of quote unquote fighting and resisting, Todd. I don't know what those words mean anyway. And, you know, the word resistance, I think, is great. You know, but I think it's a little bit of cosplay. Like, what does that mean today?
Agreed.
To resist? And so my word is work. We need to work. We need to get back to, you know, talking to the kinds of voters that, you know, we met all over the state of Wisconsin, the kind of people we met, understanding where they're coming from. Now, look, as I said, I'm not going to be a Democrat, but they are, all things considered, the only functioning pro-democracy party we have left. And I use functioning advisedly. And so, you know, here's the other thing. American democracy, like right now, we're at the water's edge, Todd. Like, we are getting ready to get pushed into the ocean. And I think it's incumbent upon all of us who can to stay in this and figure out, okay, whether or not it's in Virginia or New Jersey, which have 2025 elections, or everywhere else where we can say, okay, how do we push back on this? Because as you know, our old party is rapacious. It is predatory. They will take every opportunity they can to chalk up another win, to close off another avenue to voters' voices being heard. And I think we need to get back to a place where we are actually listening to them. We are finding and helping recruit candidates in every office up and down the ballot so that, you know, normalcy, which I know seems like a high bar nowadays, Todd, that normalcy can be on the ballot. Because what we have seen here and there, and I'm hoping we can try and scale it, is that when a normal, competent Democrat goes up against a MAGA nut, the normal candidate typically wins. Right. And we should do more of that.
Reed Galen, president of the union. You can find all information at jointheunion.com. Jointheunion.com is a great organization.
.us.
I'm sorry. Jointheunion.us. Thank you very much. Jointheunion.us. Reed, thank you so much. Talk to you soon, my friend.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.